Okay, Yudalit Amid Beis, close to the bottom of the page, the Mishnah. Last time we learned the Mishnah, but we'll start it again. Amid Abiyas, he says, Ma'aseh B'tin Eikes, there's a story about a young girl. She yard the lamalis mayim in ayin. She went to fill up water like Rivka. She went to go to the well to fill up water. V'nansan, she was raped there. And now the question is, can this girl marry a kohen or not? Like, who was she raped by? A kosher guy or not a kosher guy? Amar Rav Yechon ben Nuri, Rav Yechon ben Nuri said, Imrei v'anshir yir masin l'kohuna. If most of the men in the city are known to be kosher for a kohen, maz arezi t'nasei l'kohuna, she could marry a kohen. In other words, he said, if most of the people in the city are kosher people, that if they live with a woman, she can marry a kohen. So we assume the girl was raped from a guy who was a kosher Jew, and therefore she can marry a kohen. But if the guys are not kosher, the majority of people, then in other words, Rabbi Yehuda, the Gemara is going to go into this whole sugya about the Reiv. This is what the Gemara is about, Reiv. Rabbi Yehuda said, we go by the majority. Majority of men in the city that could have raped her were kosher people, so she can marry a kohen, and if not, not.
What were the ones that are not kosher? They were...
I'm the sin, a guy, a mamzer, I mean, any, you know.
Really, the masiv would be only nesi, a guy, a mamzer, nothing else.
Nesin. Yeah, but that's a lot.
Yeah, I mean, it's not, there's no gerusha here, there's no question of gerusha and...
Okay. Amalei Rav, Rav Nachman, so Rav said to Rav Nachman. Take a seat, in the Gemara. Amalei Rav Nachman, Nuri, Amalei, come on. Who does Rabbi Yechon ben Nuri hold like? Because this is connected to the previous Mishnahs. In the previous Mishnahs, it said that if a girl was with a man, right? And we ask her, who were you with? And she says it was a kosher Jew. Rabbi Gavliel and Rabbi Lazar believe him. Remember we learned Rabbi Yeshua says no. Right? Now, the Gemara asked, Rav asked Rav Nachman like this. Who does Rabbi Yechon ben Nuri hold like? Because if the opinion of Rabbi Gamliel that a woman is always believed, he says, Afilu bereiv na psulin nami machshe. The Gemara said before earlier that according to Rabbi Gamliel, even if the majority of men are not kosher men, she still believed to say it was from a kosher man. Yeah? V'hi Rabbi Yeshua says, Afilu bereiv k'sheidim nami pasul. Even if it's a majority of kosher people, she's still pasul. In other words, Gemara is asking a very simple question. Rabbi Gamliel says, a woman is always believed. Even if most people are not kosher, she's believed to say, I was with a kosher guy. Rabbi Yeshua says, she's never believed, even if most men were kosher men. Yeah? So the question, what does Rabbi Yechon ben Nuri hold like? Rabbi Yechon ben Nuri makes a stipulation. If the majority of men are kosher, so this girl is kosher. Yeah? But according to Rabbi Yeshua, even if most are kosher, it's no good. According to Rabbi Gamliel, even if the most possible, they're good. Right? So who does Rabbi Yechon ben Nuri hold like? Hachi amalei Rav. So Rav answered Rav Nachman like this. Hachi amalei Rav Yudah amalei Rav. This is what Rav Yudah said in the name of Rav. The crane is shel tzipuri hayot. Maisa. This happened in the corners of the wagons of Tzipori. Meaning like this. It was a market day. Listen what happened. It was a market. What?
People came from all over the place.
People came from all over the place. So therefore he says like this. There's a double majority here. Most people in the city are kosher people. Most people that come with the caravans are kosher people. So because it's a majority of good, and a majority of good,
bad.
He says, huh?
Majority of good and bad.
No.
Caravan is good? We don't know who are those people.
Yeah,
we know.
They come from outside.
From different places. They are not from one certain place.
No. Rabbi Yechon ben Nuri says, the way Rav answers the name of Rav, that we know that both are kosher people. The majority of the wagon drivers and the majority of the men in the city.
So, what's the question? They're all good.
The question is, when a woman is with a guy, correct? Rabbi Gamliel says, we believe her that she was with a kosher guy, therefore she can marry a kohen. Rabbi Gamliel says, Rabbi Yeshua said, we don't believe her. Correct? Yeah?
This is if she was raped by a guy.
But that's what happened though. This girl was raped.
Yeah, so how would a girl know the guy is kosher or not if she's raped?
That's what we're saying. If the majority of people in that area were kosher people, the assumption is who raped her?
When she's testifying, so we ask her...
What's a kosher guy?
A kosher guy means... Okay. If a woman who had relations with a guy she cannot marry cannot be with a kohen anymore. Okay? If a woman had relations, intimacy with a guy, because she cannot marry that guy, yeah? She cannot marry a kohen anymore. Okay? If a woman had relation with a mamzer, because she's not allowed to marry a mamzer, she can never marry a kohen. If a woman had incest with her brother, because she can't marry a brother, she can never marry a kohen. Okay? Now, here the problem is, and in the previous missions, the problem is, this woman lived with somebody, or in the case of the girl, she was raped. Now, if it's a regular Jew, that even though he lives with her, she can still marry a kohen. Okay, in today's world, yeah? A girl is living with a boyfriend, a Jew. And then they break up. She's not married, not a divorce, you know, right? She can marry a kohen. If she was with a guy, even once, she cannot marry a kohen anymore. Now, obviously the guy ain't so great if he could rape a little girl, but the fact is he's still a kosher Jew, not a mamzer, not incest, not a guy, not, you know, somebody she couldn't marry. So the question is, Rabbi Yechman Nuri says, this girl was raped. Okay? So Rabbi Yechman Nuri says, if most men are kosher, this girl later can marry a kohen.
Most men in that town.
Yeah.
In a case where you don't know who raped her?
Right. Okay, we don't know. So then we assume if the majority of men are kosher, she can marry a kohen afterwards. But the Gemara's question is, 1 minute. Rabbi Gamliel says a woman has always believed, no matter what the majority is. Rabbi Yeshua says a woman has never believed who she was with, even if the majority is good. So how does Rabbi Yechim and Nuri come along and say a statement, if the majority is good, good, and if not, not? Who does he hold like? So Gemara is going to answer, he holds like Rabbi Yeshua. That normally a woman is not believed to say I was with a kosher guy. Why over here do we believe her? Because of the double majority. Number one, it was speaking when the wagons came from market day. Most of those guys are kosher. Plus, the guys from the city are kosher. That means, whether it's the locals or foreigners,
the most majority.
Both majorities are kosher people.
But he says, if it's not, she's never believed regardless.
No. Rabbi Yechanan holds though, I mean, sorry, Rabbi Yeshua holds, that if there's two guys, we do believe him.
Even though with one city, he says, we never believe.
Correct.
What does believe her mean? If she doesn't know the guy, she can't identify the guy. How does she know if the guy's a mom's here or is it whatever?
So therefore the assumption is, if 95% are kosher guys, 5% are not kosher guys, okay, and she was raped, what do we assume? Was it from a kosher guy or a non-kosher guy? The Torah says you go by the majority.
Only a bastard would rape a girl.
But if it's a rape, you might not even know if the guy's Jewish or not.
But that's what we're saying. If most of the men in the city and most of the travelers into the city are Jewish and kosher guys, it was in the city Tzipeit, he says. They knew there was most kosher guys and the wagon drivers were kosher.
Sorry, but in that case, if it's from the same city, you probably know everybody in the same city.
But we don't know who did it. Yeah, but we still don't know. No, Tzipeit happened to be a big city, the Gemara says. But we don't know who it is.
How is the Sipuri helps? Imagine you have like 95% majority kosher. You have another 95% majority
kosher. The Gemara is going to ask soon. How does this double majority work? A majority is a majority.
A majority.
Right. Okay? So the Gemara is going to ask soon, what is the majority, double majority according to Rabbi Yeshua helps? But the Gemara answers like this. According to Rabbi Yeshua, the woman is not believed, meaning there's always an assumption the guy is not kosher. Right? Even if most men in that place were kosher, Rabbi Yeshua says we still don't believe her. But if there's a double majority, Rabbi Yeshua said before in the Gemara, we do believe her.
If she doesn't
what?
Hold, I left the oven on, I left all the... I have to go turn off the oven and come.
What?
Rabbi, she could say, I don't know. In case when she says, I don't know, what would you believe? You would assume that it's still majority and it's kosher.
No, you're leaving me.
Right? If she doesn't know, we still go by the majority. Yes,
the majority. That's what the Rabbi Yochanan Nuri says. And he says, Ukud Ravami, like Ravami explains, Dame Ravami, Ushahoi, Sasiya, Shabane Adam, Ksheda, Meveris, Lusham. This case is speaking, no, Tezrova Miralev. It's speaking when the majority of the wagon drivers were also kosher guys. Okay? Ukud Rabbianai, and like another din of Rabbianai, Dame Ravani, Rabbianai says, Nivalas Bekrenis. If a woman did had relations between the wagons, ksheira lekuhuna, she's kosher for a kohen. In other words, simply Rabbi Ani says, if a woman had relations in between wagons, she's kosher. So Gemara says the kohen is hakadaitach. It depends where she had wagons or not wagons. The Gemara says no. What it means is ela nivala b'shas kohenis. If it's when the caravans come into the area for business. Ksheidah the kohuna, because there's a double majority. Again, majority that the locals, plus the guests are also kosher people. Now, Avo Peter Shachamitzi Puri, now this is going to be a very important din. But if one of the guys in Tzipori came out of his home, okay, and therefore Vlad Shtuki, because then the kid would not be kosher. Shtuki means we don't know who the father of the child is. In other words, when you ask the kid, who's your father? He says, he's quiet because he doesn't know. In other words, like this. But if there's one majority only, that means we know it was a local. Even though most of them are kosher, it's only one majority. Because it can't be the majority of the travelers because they for sure didn't do it. So there's only one majority. Then she wouldn't be kosher l'kohen. So the Gemara is explaining the Mishnah, before we even go further in the Gemara. The Gemara is explaining the Mishnah. This that Rabbi Yochanan Nuri said, that this case where the girl was raped, she can marry a kohen, is speaking where there's a double majority. The locals were kosher, and the travelers were kosher. But if one of the locals for sure raped her, and we don't know which one it is, even though the majority are kosher men, Rabbi Yeshua says we don't believe her. Meaning, she cannot marry a kohen. That's what the Gemara is saying.
We don't believe her if she says it was a kosher man.
First of all, she was a kid. Secondly, she was raped. How is she supposed to know? Wasn't she chose to be with a guy? And she could have checked him out to make sure he's kosher? You know what I mean? But we don't know, she was raped.
Otherwise, assuming that she wasn't raped, and she would come and
that's
say...
That's the Mishnah before. Bitunam Gamlil says we believe her, and Rabbi Yeshua says we don't believe her. Those are the three Mishnahs before that said similar dinam. She was with a guy or was pregnant, or she said it was from a stick, not from a person. All these things.
The concept that she can't incriminate herself applies, where if she says...
She's not saying.
In the case where she would say, she's not. She's saying the opposite.
She's saying the opposite. She's saying, I was kosher. I was with a kosher guy.
And if she said no, you would believe her, she said it wasn't kosher.
Then you believe her, according to Rabbi Yeshua, you believe her. In fact, the Rishonim discuss L'chayr over here, the girl's not... In the previous Mishnas of Ram Gamliel and Rav Yeshua, the girl is saying a statement, I was with a kosher guy. Here, the girl doesn't know anything, she was raped. She doesn't know who it was. So how could she say, and she's not saying it was with a kosher guy. Nevertheless, the Gemara, the Rishonim, you see from our Gemara, it's not relevant what she says. If most people are kosher, she's kosher. Most people are not kosher, she's not kosher. And the way the Gemara is explaining Rabbi Yechim ben Nuri, it has to be a double majority. Most majority of the city is kosher, most majority of the travelers are kosher. But if it would be for sure from one of the travelers, or for one of the locals, and you know for sure it is, so it's only one majority, we wouldn't believe it.
Why take a chance to begin with?
The question is this
the offspring a problem too? If some,
But we want to make sure there's a kosher woman and she can marry a kohen.
Why is not permitted? She can marry a kohen.
Yeah, but she wants to marry a kohen. Why should, no, if, unless you know for sure. Why should we be stricter more than the halach needs to be?
So what is the chidush of this mishnah? Because we said this in the previous mishnah too, right? That majority are kosher or not, even though she said or she didn't.
No, the chidush of our mishnah is that even if he holds like Rabbi Yeshua, that normally she's not believed, but it's two majorities she is believed. That's what our mishnah is telling us. That even that so far, even Rabbi Yeshua would hold, normally he doesn't believe the woman. Even if most are kosher, he doesn't believe the woman. But if it's a double majority, then he'll believe the woman.
We couldn't say this in previous mission, this thing? This chiddush?
The Gemara did say that earlier.
Double majority?
Yep. Okay. He says, where do we see such a thing? When Avdimi came from Eretz Yisrael, Amr, he said, Zid, Amr, Rab Chanina, Zid, he said the name of Rab Chanina, Amla, Zid, he said the name of Rabbi Chanina. Okay? He says, Hilchen Acher Evair, we only follow the majority of the city, but we don't follow the majority of the travelers. So the Gemara says, clap a lie, if anything, it should be reverse. And I'm going to see this, and then we're going to have to explain this. Hani Naidi, these travelers are moving, Vane Kviya Vakaime, and these are established. Okay? Meaning like this. Okay. This is going to be a general for the whole next page, and this is relevant to all over the Gemara. There's a din in the Torah, and it's relevant. The Gemara is going to get into this right now, so let me explain this din, because that's what the Gemara is talking about, establish the majority. The Torah says, you follow the majority. Okay? Now, what happens, the classic example the Gemara is going to tell, we learned this case already, there's not 10 stores. On Pico Boulevard, there's 10 stores. Yeah? 9 sell kosher meat, 1 sells trefa meat. You find a piece of meat in the street. Okay, they're all on one block. In the middle of the block, you find a piece of meat. Now, the question is the meat kosher? Is it from a kosher store? Or is it from the trefa store? So the Torah says, you go by the majority. Go by the majority. Therefore, if most stores are kosher, the meat is kosher. Correct? But the Gemara says another thing. What happens if somebody went into one of the stores to buy something? And they don't remember which store it was. In other words,
how is that possible?
A guest comes to town. And there it said, on Pico, all the stores are kosher. So she goes into one of the stores. She didn't know which store. She went into one of the stores and bought meat. So then the din is, the meat is treif. there's 9 stores selling kosher, and only 1 store is selling treif. But the din is, this is what's called kavua kemachza al machza dami. If it's an established place, then it's 50-50. And the Gemara is going to say later, we learn now from a pasuk. Okay? Some poskim write it's exercise, it's illogical, there's a tesis in Zvachim that gives a reason for this. But the bottom line is, when you find meat separated, in other words, let me explain the logic behind it. When you find a piece of meat outside the store, what is the doubt on now? On the piece of meat. Correct? The piece of meat left its original place. It left. It's in the street now. So there's a rule. If something leaves, it leaves from the majority. But if a woman goes into a store to buy meat, and then she doesn't remember which store it was, then the din is, where did the doubt begin? The doubt doesn't begin on the meat. The doubt begins, which store did she go into? That didn't separate from anywhere. The doubt is now on the store. The store is established. And if it's established, then it's 50-50. I'll give you an example, which is also very relevant today. There are certain nations you're not allowed to marry into. Like Amin, Moyov, Mitzri for 3 generations, right? So the Gemara tells a story. There was Naaman Ger Mitzri. Naaman was a Ger from Mitzrayim. He said, oh, okay, in 2 generations, my kids will be able to marry a Jewish girl. Because you need 3 generations. So Ram Gamliel said, yeah, you're no good, but 2 generations now you'll be okay. Your kids will be okay. So Rabbi Kiva says to him, what are you talking about? Rabbah Sancherev, the king Sancherev came and mixed up the whole world. What did Sancherev do? He wanted to solidify his power. He took all the nations and moved them to different places.
Like Yosef.
Yeah, the case he did in Mitzrayim. Bar Sancherev, Ubil Bulas Kol Ha'ilam. He actually took Amen and moved them to Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim, he took the Amen. He moved everybody around. Because if you're not home, you don't have your power. And that's what he did. So Rabbi Kiva said to him, therefore today, any person that you look at is not from Amen, not from Mayav, not from Mitzrayim. They're from the majority of the world. And if they're a ger, they come from the majority of the world. The majority of the world is not Egyptian, not Amun, and not Mayav. I'll give you an example. Today, a guy comes to be Megayer. He wants to become a Ger. Yeah? Maybe he's a Mitzri. Maybe he's Amun and Mayav. How can even a convert of Amun and Mayav can't marry a Jewish girl? Right? A Mitzri, the Torah says 3 generations you have to wait. Right? So the question is, today a guy comes in America and wants to be Megayer, he means it, yeah? You do the Gators, and then he marries. Maybe he's a Amin Amayev. The answer is no, because this guy is coming from the world. There's no Mitzri anymore. There's no Amin Amayev anymore. Right? So therefore, we say he comes from the majority. The majority is not Amin Amayev. The majority is not Mitzrayim. So therefore, the guy is allowed to become a ger and marry anybody he wants.
They never ask the ger people are you from this country.
So the Gemara, no. Even if a man comes here from Egypt, a guy in Israel wants to be Megayer. You could be Megayer, yeah, and he can marry a Jewish girl. He's a ger mitzri. It says 3 generations. The answer is not from Mitzrayim anymore. Because Sancheret moved everybody around, so everybody's majority that left. So therefore, the Gemara's question on this Gemara now is like this. Rav Dimi said in the name of Rav Chanina, yeah, that you go only by the majority of the city, not by the majority of the travelers.
It's Kavua. That's what it's Kavua.
So Gemara says the opposite. The city people are Kavua. You shouldn't go by the majority. And the travelers, they're Potish. They're separated. They're not home.
Which one is better? No,
Kavua is 50-50. So it wouldn't be kosher. The majority would be kosher. Right? So Rav Chanina said, the way the Gemara says now, Rav Chanina said a statement, we only follow the majority of the city, not the majority of the travelers. So Gemara says,
I burned my hand, so I had to put it in the
knife.
Are you
live painting?
No, I just...
Are you having a party?
Okay. And you understand?
It's the other way around.
The Gemara says, clap a lie the other way. Hanin Naida. What?
We'll have it after the
class. Hanin Naida. But I'm going to be melted. Hanin Naida. The travelers are moving, and the people are in the house. So they're Kavua. Ella, so the Gemara says, yo, what does it mean? It means like this. What Rav Chanina said, really what we just said. Go by the majority of the city when the travelers are also majority. So then it's a double majority. But you don't just go by the majority of the people in the city, or by the majority of the travelers either. Meaning, if you know for sure it was a city guy that raped her, you wouldn't go by the majority. Because only one majority. If you know for sure it was a traveler that raped her, again we wouldn't go by because there's only one majority. Because we don't know who did it, and there's a majority of city, and majority of travelers, so the double majority makes that we believe it. Exactly what the Gemara just got through saying. The Gemara just proved the statement from Rav Chanina also.
Is it like saying double majority, majority of Kavua, majority of the non-Kavua? That's the reason? Because we have both.
It's not really a double doubt. The Gemara is saying a double majority.
Which one is Kavua? The city itself is Kavua.
Yep. Yeah.
This is the Makora of Kavua. I mean,
just Gemara.
But not the Chaticha of the.
That's Teisha Chanuyas.
You missed that.
Oh, I missed it.
No, we didn't even get there inside yet.
I missed the whole thing. And I was dealing with the Chaticha right now.
So, Lepel, the Gemara says like this, we need a double majority. But, like we asked before, everybody was asking, why do you need a double majority? A majority is a majority. Why do you need a majority of the men in the city are kosher and the majority of the travelers are kosher for this girl to be kosher? Why isn't one majority enough? Majority is enough. So he's saying like this.
My time, yeah?
Yeah. The Gemara is going to say, you're right, it's only rabbinic that you can't rely on one majority. Let me just tell you the answer outside. The Gemara is going to answer, biblically, one majority is enough. The Chachamim said, we need to be stricter if there's only one majority. Why? The Gemara says like this. My time, huh? Gzeira reiv siya ato reiv ha'ir. We make a decree that the reiv siya, the travelers, even if it's just the majority of the travelers, is not good. Because somebody might come to rely on the majority. Because the majority is, the city is Kavua. The city is established, right? If you rely, in other words, Gemara says like this, if it's Kavua, there's no majority. So even though most travelers are Potish, they are moving, not Kavua, but that itself would not be enough because if you rely on the majority of the travelers, people will make a mistake and rely on the majority of the people in the city. Right? And that's Kavua. That's not enough.
Parish is more of more acceptable than kavua?
Yeah, kavua is 50-50.
But it's a majority.
But by majority, kavua, you don't, it's 50-50.
Yeah, he missed your explanation before.
I know.
Parush is...
when it's separated.
Then it's, that's more than 50-50.
Then you go by the majority. You might as well say the story with the stores, no?
One part I understand. If the Isha goes to one of the stores, right? We don't know which one she went. But why we don't say she's Jewish, so Ms. Tama, she went to the kosher Jewish?
No, I told you the case. Store. They tell her, she thought all 10 were kosher.
Oh, she thought.
Somebody moved to town. They tell her all the stores in Pekah are kosher. So she went into the store. Then she finds out, somebody tells her, 1 minute, one store wasn't, is not kosher. Right? And now she doesn't know. Okay? Now, where did the doubt begin? In the store or outside of the store?
In the store.
The doubt begin, which store is kosher?
Yeah.
That's 50-50. That's cool. Nine stores are kosher, one store is treif. Why can we say most probability in math is that she went into the kosher store?
You know.
1 second. The answer is, the Torah says kavua is 50-50.
What was the logic?
Taisus says in Zvachim, because kavua makes it choshev, and choshev is not batal.
It's chashivut?
Yeah. But Pashtus, the Gemara is going to say it's exerts a kosev. But, when you find the meat outside the store, where's the doubt beginning? You find a piece of meat. The question is the meat kosher or not? Right? Now the meat left the store. So now, which store do we assume it left from? The majority.
It's not so pashut, man.
Why not?
It depends on when the doubt starts, then.
Yeah.
I remember, going back to my yeshiva days, there's a Mordechai in Chulam, one of the Rishonim asks a very simple question. Bezdin is kavur or potash?
Kavur?
Bezdin.
Kavur.
Kavur. Why do you follow majority opinions? The Mordechai asked the question.
You're not talking about the bedding, you're talking about the people inside the bedding.
Yeah, but they're in an established place.
Yeah.
You know what he answers? A phenomenal answer. He says, you don't go by them, you go by their speech. Their speech leaves them. The psak leaves them.
So their thoughts doesn't count. If they write it down, it doesn't count.
It leaves them also.
So that's why it's not kavua.
In other words, by the way, the Gemara is going to get into this. I might as well say it now. There's a difference if the guy raped her and he left his house, or she went to his house and got raped. Think about it. If the guy left his house and raped her, right? Now the majority of the house is a kosher. The guy left the house and raped her by the well. Then you could say you'd go by the majority. But what happens if the girl went to the guy's house and she doesn't remember which guy's house it was? Well, you can have a case. The girl went to somebody's house. She needed a pail. She needed whatever. Yeah? She needed help. And she went to somebody's house, and over there she got raped.
And you say 50-50?
Then it's kavua. But if the guy left his house and raped her by the well, then you say potash. He separated.
Yeah, that's why I don't understand the logic. If you go by the person that raped her, it doesn't matter. Is he outside or he is inside the house? No?
The doubt is on the person. The person left the houses. Majority of houses are what? It's like the meat. Left the store. Which store did it come from? Which house did this man come from? A kosher house. I don't mean kosher, I mean the leaf fires on. Kosher Magai, right? But if she got raped in the house is kavua.
And the kavua is 50-50.
50-50. Then she wouldn't be kosher lakuna. that she wouldn't be kosher to marry a kohen because she's 50-50.
Why is it 50-50 again?
Kavua is 50-50.
Why? That's the Gezerat HaKotuv?
Yeah.
And Parish is not Gezerat HaKotuv?
Also.
Two different...
The Gemara is going to discuss. I mean, the whole Gemara is going to get to this whole thing over here.
I mean, it's talking about a house that we don't know, which, she doesn't know which house it is.
Correct.
Right.
Then it would be a dinner kavua. The Gemara is going to talk about that soon. But if the guy left his house and raped her by the well, then it's Parish.
Why put it on the house, though? Why not just put it on the majority of men that live in the city?
Because the doubt began in the building, which was the established building.
Why is the building attached to this equation at all? You want to see if majority of men are Jewish, then this guy was Jewish. For example, Jewish, this guy's Jewish. If not, not.
Yeah, but the question never was, if a guy leaves the house, then we assume, where did it leave from? If the guy raped her in the house, he never left the house. So then there's no such thing as leaving from the majority because he never left.
The parish is easy to understand. The kavua is.
The Gemara is going to learn from Pasuk.
There's no logic.
No, there isn't. It's exerts a kosev. I said, Taisis and Zvachim says,
Because
of Chshivus. Because Kavua, if it's an established place, is considered certain Chshivus, which is not bottle but of. Chshiva things are not bottle. Remember we said, one of the, you know, these weeks, we're talking about counting the Jews, yeah? Kisis or whatever. So it says, the Koyoka says, one of the reasons why you count the Jews, why should him count the Jews? He doesn't know how many Jews there are. But you have to give you half a shekel. Yeah? Okay, they need the money for Kobanas. They could have gotten donations. They could have done a different way. Why does Hashem want to count? So the Koyoka says, because Davar Shebeminyan lay bottle. Something you count, counting makes it choshuv. And if it's choshev, it's prominent, then it never becomes bottled. There's 15 million Jews and 7 billion people. Why aren't the Jews bottled but of? The bottle is 60 also. Why isn't it? Because the fact that they counted makes them choshev that they never become bottled.
Counted by God.
Huh?
Counted by God.
Yeah, I mean.
But within the people.
And not counted by, because they also, after going also, they've been counted, like how many they live in each country.
Yeah.
But because you are counted by Hashem, that's
right.
Why?
Right.
That gives us Hashem.
No, not only that, Bechad Gemara says, Davar Shebeminyan lay bottle. Something that you count, you sell by counting, is not bottle. Okay, anyway, let's get back over here.
You're talking about Rabbi Yehoshua so far, right?
Yeah, Mishnah is going to Rabbi Yehoshua, but there's a double Rav. Okay, so then Gemara asks, why do you need a double Rav if one Rav should be enough? So Gemara says, because if you're only going to go by the majority of travelers, you might then think that you could make a kosher by the majority of the city. The problem with the majority of the city is Kavua. Right? So what about, so the Gemara asks back, but even by the city, yeah? If the guy left the house to rape her, then again, called the punishment over punishment. Again, it should be the majority. And if not, or the Gemara answers, the call easily ilagabe, she went to them. That means, because sometimes, the woman goes to the guy, and she got raped. So there, it's kavua. And even if there's one guy in the city that's not kosher, we can assume it's 50-50. By the way, the Gemara says the whole time the majority of the city is kosher, right? If every guy in the city is kosher, then there's no doubt. The question is, because there's a minority of people that are not kosher, maybe this girl was raped by the guy that wasn't kosher.
So really, the people coming from outside makes everything worse.
No, because they're moving. They traveled here.
But those traveling people, they're more likely to find somebody that's not kosher on traveling people, whereas the people that are in the city...
No, the Gemara said majority of the traveling we know are kosher. That's what Gemara says, it's a double rape.
You don't know who is traveling. You don't know who is traveling.
There's also a deen that if the girl says, I was raped in the city, you don't believe her because she could have protested, and if it's outside in the wilderness...
No, that's not about marrying a Kohen. That has to do with if she was married or had Kedushin already, do you kill her or not? There's nothing to do with that. Over there is a separate din. If she was a girl was raped in the city,
and she said I was raped.
Yeah, then we don't believe her because she should have screamed. That's to stay married to the husband.
Right, but
here we're talking about a single girl.
She's not testifying to anything.
No,
she's not testifying that I was raped or not. Raped.
She knows. She was raped. That she testifies, we don't know with whom.
But will she even testimony for that may be questionable if it's in the city, as I'm saying, no?
No, because she was raped. The question is, did she kosher the kohen?
Right. Okay.
We're going to learn on the next page. There's another concept called pesha osa pesha hitter. Mm-hmm. The mouth that forbids, the mouth permits, right? Mm-hmm. If a woman, if she didn't know the girl was raped at all, and the girl comes and says, I was raped, but it was a kosher guy. All the Mishnahs before, if you remember, it says, we saw her speaking with somebody. We saw her secluded with somebody. We saw her pregnant. Right? So obviously she was with somebody. It didn't happen from God. She's not the Virgin Mary. Right? It didn't happen from... But if a girl comes and says, I want you to know, I was captured, but I was not touched. It's the whole next paragraph, by the way. A girl comes and says, because we assume once a girl is captured by Goyim, she was raped. Right? And by Goyim. So obviously she can't marry a Goyim. What happens if the girl comes to Bez, and we didn't know anything. A girl comes to Bez and says, guys, I want to tell you something. I was captured by Goyim, but nobody touched me. Then you believe her. Why? Because if you believe her that she was captured, then you have to believe her that she wasn't touched. And if you're not believing her, don't believe her on anything. That she was never captured. We never saw her captured.
But she's saying it herself.
If witnesses testify she was captured, mm-hmm. and then she comes along and said they didn't touch me, she's not believed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But if she, nobody ever saw her captured. She comes to Bezim, they're a different city. See, guys, I want to tell you something. I was captured, yeah? But the guy's never touched me. So then is your believer. Pasha Asar, the mouth that forbids, is the same mouth that permits. I'll give you another example. A girl comes in today's world, yeah? We said, a girl that had intimacy with a guy cannot marry a kohen. Yeah? What happens if a girl comes, we don't know anything. A girl comes and says, listen, I'm not a virgin, I was with men, but they're all kosher. I mean, all Jewish. Can she marry a kohen? According to everybody, you believe her or you don't believe her? According to Rabbi Yeshua, you believe her?
Rabbi Yeshua is not talking about that.
Why?
He talks about Rove.
Previous paddock. Previous Mishnahs. You believe her or not? Mm-hmm. Rabbi Yeshua's old din over there, they saw her talking to somebody. They saw her secluded. They saw somebody living with her. Right? But if a girl comes today, it's very practical law, by the way. A girl wants to get married today, yeah? Bal tshuva. And she said, listen, I was with men in college or whatever, but they're all Jews.
How did you know that?
She asked her for the ID.
Go ahead, big nose.
What's it then? You believe her? Rabbi Yeshua says we don't believe her. That's only when there's witnesses testifying that something happened. Understand? Then it will be a different story.
We do not suspect her that maybe she's lying in order, maybe they're going to find out later on, so she's going to use as a trick. You know, you know what? I was captured, but I'm okay. We don't talk.
She knows the Gemara.
She wants to be smart, you know.
No. Yeah. Peshas and Pesha Hitta is a very powerful migui. You believe with what she says, because mm-hmm. she could have lied better. In this case, she could have kept quiet. Yeah. If she would have kept quiet, for sure it would have been good. And the Gemara says, because the Gemara asked, L'cheira, if the guy from the city left his house to the girl and raped her, why isn't it also called a potish? So speaking, no, she went to him. The Havala Kavua, where it's Kavua 50. Because then, Taka, she went to the guy. So the Suffolk is in the house. If the Suffolk is in the house, so then, she's 50-50. And then she couldn't marry a Kohen.
Which one is 50-50 again?
Any Kavua.
So she cannot marry a Kohen.
If it's Kavua, correct.
Did he also meet this meat story?
Hmm? Yeah, he has an ice cream story.
That makes it up.
We have a party afterwards?
It's empty.
Empty. Oh, it's not empty. It's frozen.
It was frozen.
Don't put it in the refrigerator.
Are
you saving it for us?
Forget it. You want to have it, have it.
Really,
I'm worried about my finger.
Don't leave home without your ice cream.
Yeah.
Okay. So, the Gemara's conclusion before we move on, because not today, but there's a bunch of tesis in here that we need to learn. That explains very. This is a very famous Gemara, the Reiv, the whole story of Reiv and Kavua and Machsa Dami.
Why isn't it Gemara Chulin talking about Kolda Parish and all that?
It's in a lot of places. There's Teisha Chanuyas Bechlal. There's Brice of Teisha Chanuyas Dalid is in Psachim and Chulin in Nida. It's all over the place. Gemara talks about the dinim majority applies to many dinim in Torah.
So when we have three potatoes, when two are kosher, one is not. Let's say potatoes. Then I can't come up with something else.
Ice cream. Oh, something that's counted. I was thinking.
Yeah, counted.
Let's say you have 60 chickens, or one of them is a treif chicken, whole chicken uncooked. And falls and gets dropped into those.
No, that's the bottle 60. No, I'm talking about
actually. It's numbered.
If it's numbered, it's easier. We have three items, two of them kosher, one not. We don't know which one what. Then what happens? Bottle Berov, no?
It's sometimes a bottle Berov.
It's like a knife.
Sometimes.
You have a 10 knives or something like that. One is fixed up.
Somebody just said, this is a common question. It's a whole simon in Yardadeya. One of your forks became treif. One of your forks. A milchaka fork was touching hot meat. Okay? So you have to kosher it. You put it away to kosher it.
Gets mixed up with everything.
Comes the housekeeper and puts them back. So let's say you have 10 forks. Yeah? One of them is treif. Correct? Got it?
Mm-hmm.
One fork became treif, but now they're all mixed up together.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? Or somebody put pizza on a fleishika tray and you don't know which tray. No, typical cases. Okay, now I have 10 forks. One of them is treif. Correct? Can I use the forks?
A rove.
Mm-hmm. And any fork that I take out, where is it coming from?
The majority.
The majority. The majority is kosher. Correct? So I can use it. Now the question is, can I use all 10 forks at the same time?
No.
Because one for sure is treif.
So what do you do? You leave one out when you...
I'm asking you.
How can you use all 10 of them at the same time? After realistically.
Set the table for 10 people.
Yeah, like 10 games.
Oh. You don't ask me about cooking any...
Yeah, I know. You see, you don't ask me.
When you get to two forks, then it's not a majority anymore. It's already 50-50.
The halacha is, you can use all 10.
Yeah?
One of them is treif. I want them to show.
It's kavua. It's all of them are being. No, it's a parish.
I can use all 10 forks. Why?
10 different people.
Yeah. You can use 10 forks for the same ghetto. Because every fork I look at. Remember, we learned the din. There's two roads. Remember, doubtful tumah in Rosh Hashanah is tahar. Remember, we learned that. Yeah? Doubtful tumah in Rosh Hashanah is tahar. Correct? So now there's two roads. One road has a dead body on it, one road doesn't. Got it? Doubtful tumah in a public domain is good, no problem. A guy says, comes to Beis Din, says, Beis Din, I want this road, A, foothill and maple. Yeah? Guy says, one, we don't know, foothill or maple, one of them has a dead body, one doesn't. So the guy comes to Beis Din and says, Beis Din, you know what? I went on one of the two streets. I don't remember which one I went on. Or, I know which street I went on, but I don't know if that's the Tommy Street or the other one is the Tommy Street. What's the din? Doubtful Tumen of Shusha Rabim is Tahar.
Is that like Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai did?
Yeah, well, similar to that. Yeah? Now, what happens if two guys come? One guy went on this road, and one guy went on this road. And they come to Beis Din, and they say, am I Tahar or Tummy?
They come together.
One second.
No, this is Rishud and Rambam.
Rishud and Rambam.
Okay.
But we know Reuven went on foothill and Shimon went on maple.
One of them for sure went to the...
So if you one of them for sure is Tummy.
Yeah.
Right? So the Gemara says like this. If they come separately to Beis Din, not together. Reuven comes to Beis Din. Reuven says, Beis Din, I don't know this road or this road. I was on this road. I don't know which one's Tommy. Betan says, you, Tahar. Because you have a doubt. Okay. Then Shimon comes separately to Beis Din. Beis Din looks at Shimon. Shimon is a doubt. Did he go on the Tommy or not Tommy? Beis Din says, you're Tahar. So they're both Tahar. What happens if they come together to Beis Din? They walk in the door together and say, Beis Din, I went on this road, I went on this road. What's the din? You know what Beis Din says? You both tell me.
Both. Huh. Why?
Because one's for sure tell me.
One of them, not both of them.
But we don't know which one it is.
So why did they...
When they come separately, you look at them separately. When they come together, you can't look at them separately. Because they think of one for sure, Tommy.
So right? If one person,
but by the forks, they say it's different.
Was it?
Huh? Because not two men taught it.
Does that carry on that you never have to clean the forks now, or is it afterwards you should probably just take all 10 and get it clean?
You don't even kasha. You don't have to kasha them. One opinion says you can only use 9 out of the forks. One cannot be used. No. Individually, you can use each one. All 10? One opinion, Aloha says you can't use it.
Because of what he mentioned, 10 different people?
No, because one for sure is no good. But another opinion, that's the Aloha, you can use all 10.
So there's one opinion that says you cannot use any of them?
No. One opinion says you cannot use all 10, you can only use 9 out of the 10.
So then we say we follow the rule, we follow the hazak of other way, and someone eats the non-kosher food, it's not going to affect his body? Because the Torah said it's kosher, mm-hmm. So it's going to affect us no matter what.
If Torah says it's kosher, it's not going to affect you.
Even though it wasn't kosher.
While we're way off topic anyway. In the time of war, or whatever, for life endangering, yeah?
Yes.
And there's no kosher meat. You allowed to eat treif?
Yes.
Okay. There's a chakira, another, there's a question asked, and there's different opinions. When the Torah says you can eat treif for food to save a life, does that mean it becomes kosher? Or it stays treif and the Torah says you can eat it anyway?
It stays treif and you can eat it anyway.
Understand the question?
Yeah.
What's the difference? I can eat it.
Yes.
Torah says eat it. But does it affect my body or not?
Yeah. Does it?
So I'm asking.
Like having to eat on Yom Kippur too, right?
Yeah.
Similar?
So, the Alter Rebbe in Tanya has a bracket. And lo bikor nevesh, shenase heter, and then in the brackets he writes gomor. Because now the question is, in other words, do I have to do tshuva for what I ate? If it's really treif, but Hashem said, listen, save a life, you overdo it, yeah, so then you still have treif in your system. Correct? But if the Torah made it kosher, then you didn't do anything wrong.
Anyway, we don't make beracha on it.
Yes, you do.
You shouldn't enjoy it.
Beracha on
it? Torah says you're allowed to eat it.
Yeah, and non-kosher food? And non-kosher?
Smakiv in the lip. Fasmakiv in the lip.
Yeah.
And Torah, you make beracha?
If your Torah says you can eat it.
If somebody's sick and eating non-kosher food,
you
make
if beracha? If Torah says you can eat, do you make a beracha on Yom Kippur? If you eat?
Yeah.
Why? No Kiddush. No Kiddush. No Lecha Mishnah. But you make a beracha?
Yeah.
You have to bench?
Yes.
Why? If you eat treif for food, you don't make a bracha.
But not, Kippur is not a treif, it's kosher food.
You but Torah says you can't eat it.
Yeah.
Here the Torah says you could eat it.
So you make a bracha, yeah?
Yeah.
Wow. You make chazir?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Oh.